to our listeners for joining us again for our broadcast series, where we invite an industry expert to join us in discussing topical issues. So today I'm joined by John Darby, Chief Growth Officer at Bluecrest. John, would you mind just giving us a quick introduction to yourself and also the background to Bluecrest and also where you sit within the wider screening market?
Yeah. Emily, thanks, first of all, so much for having me on your podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to be talking to our friends at Bluecrest. A little bit about me. So I've been at Bluecrest for almost 3 years now, with an initial focus on growing Bluecrest presence in the B2B space and through partnerships. And recently I was appointed as Chief Growth Officer. So now I oversee all of sales, service, and under that remit, we're talking about direct, intermediary and partnerships and everything that comes with it. Prior to that, I was 20 plus years in the private medical insurance industry. So trying to develop and distribute products to fix people when they're unwell. And I, you know, recently, I guess, made a change to get ahead of that curve and move into prevention and try to work with an organization that was going to try and prevent people becoming so well in the first place. So that's my background. I guess a little bit about Bluecrest Wellness itself. So I've only been with the business for just coming on for 3 years, but Bluecrest has been going since 2012. The business was founded very much to sort of fill a gap in the health check market, and that gap really was to provide affordable and accessible health checks to people in the consumer, the B2C space, paying for it themselves. Bluecrest's model has never been to deliver health checks in a hospital environment, and that's one of the ways that we can deliver health checks flexibly, affordably and accessibly, and probably is the key difference between Bluecrest Wellness and some of the more traditional providers in our space. But to reassure your listeners that you're talking to an organisation that does do a bit of what it says it does, we've probably done over 600,000 full health assessments now since we started. And you could add on to that, probably a couple of 100,000 remote tests as well. We know everything ourselves. We've got some fabulous partners. So we work with leading pathology providers that test our bloods. We work with leading doctors to provide our onward pathways if you want specific medical advice, and other providers as well. You should know we're regulated by the Care Quality Commission, which is very important, a pretty big thing for us. Appreciate that will be different, a different sort of regulator to you guys and perhaps some of your clients as well. But the Care Quality Commission is our overriding regulator. So that's where we focus our time. It's all about the quality of the care and the service that we deliver. And I suppose I'll just talk really briefly, Emily, about the model I alluded to. So we deliver our health checks flexibly all over the UK. We probably deliver health checks in, well, certainly over 10,000 different clinics every year. And they're over about 400 sites all over the UK. So, you know, we're in Scotland, we're all over the UK and Ireland as well. What that allows us to do is ensure that the accessibility, whether you are an individual or an employee of a small business, an SME or a large business, you can get a health check with us probably within 15, 20 minutes of where you live or where you work. And it doesn't really matter because there'll be a clinic operating near you. And that makes us very, very accessible. The other thing we do, which might be pertinent to you guys and your clients, is we do a lot of on-site delivery now for our larger corporate partners. We've seen a lot of demand for that over the last couple of years. And it's really great for us to come on site and help an employer deliver health checks on a significant scale to their employees where they work. So that's something that we've been doing a lot of over the last couple of years and probably coincided with some of our growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, when I'm talking to corporates, the challenge is trying to encourage people to attend a screen, which seems crazy to even say, doesn't it? So that the more you make it accessible and easy for them. And I've noticed actually even post-COVID, some clients using that as a measure to get people back into the workplace and encourage them to actually be visible in the office, be part of a team. And that they've often used that as a leverage to get them in.
For sure. I was almost hesitant to suggest that was a motivating factor, but I think we've seen some of that. But, you know, when we do come on site, and we often come on site pre-health check as well. So if an employer says to us, we want to get the message out, because you're right, just because an employer has decided to fund the health assessment for its employees doesn't mean that everyone is as motivated as the employer would like to take that offer up. So we'll often go on site, our account manager will go on site to support the employer in getting that message out and bringing it to life. And actually, once we've done that, we do get really good traction from on-site delivery. Obviously, the more engaged the employer is, the better the outcome will be in the sense of how many people take it up. But the beauty of our blended offer is an employer doesn't have to take a one size fits all. They can do a big chunk of the health checks on site. But, you know, most employers now have got people all over the UK. Yeah. So if that doesn't work, everyone else can genuinely very easily get into one of our clinics. And you can check our availability. You know, I appreciate at times it's tough to get a health check. There's quite a long wait. With us, you can look and you can often get a health check the same day, the next week. And that's because we've extended our opening hours to meet demand. Some of our clinics now are open from 7 a.m. to late at night. We run clinics at the weekends. So, you know, almost there's no excuse for an employee not to take up the offer if their company is going to fund a check for them.
Well, absolutely. And just in terms of the checks, I mean, what role do you see? Because we know the challenges within the NHS and we know that there obviously you can get basic level of checks in the NHS. And as we've seen when we've looked at stats, whilst it's increasing in terms of invitations, people aren't attending. And obviously you've said there in terms of how you encourage people to get into the workplace or even to a local facility to have a screen. How do you feel you're supporting the NHS with that and reducing some of the challenges that they're facing?
Well, I think it's an opportunity and a challenge, Emily, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's quite interesting. We're talking on the day that the relatively new government have come out with a big plan around the NHS. And one of the three key pillars that they're talking about is prevention has to form part of this. So, I mean, we couldn't have picked a better day to talk about it. We do find some challenges with the NHS, and we're not as integrated as we'd like to be. I'm sure we're not alone in that. But one of our strategic objectives over time is to become a trusted partner of the NHS to support them in that very mission. And, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time, and I think many others, including the health secretary and the government, are now doing the same. I think, you know, so we would love to support as a delivery partner, and we'd also love to support, you know, with our experience of how you get engagement. And it's not easy, but it often comes from having, you need engagement from the key stakeholders. So obviously it's the individuals, it's the employers. In the broader sense, it will be, you know, it will be communities, it will be GPs and all of those things coming together with an aligned sense of purpose. But also, I think if you're going to deliver health checks in whatever form, the person that's got one has got to receive something tangible that they can do something with. Now, that could be just a report or a set of results that gives them confidence that they're in pretty reasonable shape. But what we're finding, what we're working really hard on is responding to our customers' demands that says, that's great if I've had a health check and it said I was OK or there was a few things I could do with paying attention to. But if I have another one in a year's time, 2 years time, how do I know what the change has been if I've worked hard? So we're working hard on delivering really valuable information that shows the trends. So if your cholesterol was high when you had your first one and you've really worked hard to change your behaviours, what trend and how easily can you see that trend? Because those are the sorts of insights that will encourage people to make the sort of behaviour changes, which is what I think will. The government announcement today around prevention is all about us all behaving in a way that minimises the risk of us getting what largely are preventable chronic illnesses in the main. So I think all of those are key ingredients, and we intend to be working with the NHS much more closely as we move forward.
Yeah, good. And I think we've touched on there in terms of corporate strategies and well-being programs to actually support. I mean, where do you see screening being within that strategy piece? And why do you think, John, it's so fundamental that when you are mapping out your benefit provisions, that screening is absolutely at the forefront of your mind when you're doing that?
But I think from your perspective as advisors, it must be challenging, because the feedback I get is that the cost of PMI, for example, has been getting higher and higher, and we genuinely believe that putting health assessments into a wellbeing strategy at the front end is a way of doing two things. I mean, fundamentally, it's the right thing to do, right? It'll enable people to understand their health risks, and if they're supported properly, that's not easy to do, but if they're supported properly by the provider and their employer, they will make changes, and that will benefit the employer. But if so, it's the right thing to do, first of all. Yeah. But secondly, over time, we genuinely believe, and we'd love to work even more closely with insurers around this, that there is inevitably a downstream benefit to the cost of claims for treatment if people get ahead of their key health risks. Because what clearly it should enable is the potential for earlier diagnosis. I mean, we will pick up health risks, and some of those health risks will then go on to be diagnosed as serious problems.
Yeah.
And they will almost all be at a point where that individual had no symptoms whatsoever. And we know, well, I think we all know, that if you can intervene before you're going to knock on your GP's door to say, I'm really not feeling right, both the outcome is likely to be much better, but from an insurance perspective, the cost of intervention is likely to be lower. It might be earlier, Emily. So it might be that the claim is being is incurred earlier. But we genuinely believe that over time, the cost of that treatment is likely to be lower. Yeah. So we think, I mean, that's why we think it's so fundamentally important. I guess what makes me feel encouraged is, since I've worked to develop my team at Bluecrest, I mean, we've seen something like a 400%, a quadrupling of health assessment business we get through intermediaries and advisors. And that tells me that, more and more advisors are getting switched on to this being the right thing to do, but also having the long-term potential of ensuring that future conversations and advice given to their customers are likely to be more straightforward, because you are connecting prevention to treatment, and we know that treatment is costly. So that is really, really encouraging to me. And I know it's not easy, because I know you must experience this at Broadstone with your clients. You've got a hell of a lot to cover and talk about, and fitting something like health checks and prevention in is not easy. But I would argue it's vital, both for the health of health of employers, because we know what the cost of sickness absence is. I think it's about £140 billion a year in the UK. We know you could add to that productivity and presenteeism. If you can connect all those dots, what a compelling way of keeping an employer fit, and then obviously them keeping their employees fit, healthy and engaged. So we're seeing more, but there's a lot for us to do.
But I think you're right, John. Clients are more switched on to those wider conversations. It's risk mitigation is basically what we're talking about here. As you've mentioned earlier, we are seeing the spiraling costs of healthcare. And that's because it is being utilised. We are seeing incident levels going up, and that's because of the NHS crisis. We know that. But if we just continue as we are and we make no changes, the trajectory is just on the up. So we've got to look differently, and we've got to look at how we can introduce some strategies that is forward thinking, that is catching these conditions early, but also modifying risk factors, identifying those. Because actually, if we can change the future, which is basically the power that you've got in your hands with health screenings, then it has to be high on the agenda. But again, it's a challenge, because there's always a cost that's associated. So it's looking at the return on investment. As we look at the whole piece, what actually can we do to mitigate the risks?
We know we did a white paper off the back of a pretty big survey we did quite recently, and we know employees would I mean, I guess it's a bit like a lot of employee benefits, would be buying in if they thought it was affordable and accessible. They for sure will be interested if their employer will engage with them. And we're very open and honest. There's not a one size fits all for this. I mean, we support businesses of all shapes and sizes, Emily, from sole traders to SMEs and increasingly, you know, Bluecrest works with large corporates. The more they can engage with their workforce, the more they will work with their employer around this stuff. And from a broader perspective, one of the other things that was sort of staggering, although when I step back, perhaps it wasn't. Most people are so reluctant to go and get advice for things they're worried about. It's partly because it's hard to get in front of a doctor at the moment, but it's also because, you know, there's a lot of attitude in this country, I won't bother them. Now, we all know where that leads. That leads to diagnosis, post-symptoms, and then too far post-symptoms.
Mm.
And we also know, I mean, we do health assessments. So it's not quite the same as an NHS screening programme. But we know from the sort of established NHS screening programmes what a difference, you know, advanced monitoring can make. And you know, if you bring all those things together, I think prevention becomes a more of an equation that, you know, you can't afford not to do it than can you afford to do it. And that's the message we're trying to take out all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, by putting it in someone's mindset, it does naturally make you, you know, think about what you're eating, the exercise that you're doing. And actually, it becomes a focus for you. So I think, you know, and the reports are, you know, invaluable because, you know, I know they rate it on a, you know, red for danger zone and green. And actually, it's quite rewarding to see the green. But also when you've got your amber triggers, well, what do I need to do? And the support, the post-screening support that you then get to know then how to improve in it. And it's interesting when we've done some reviews on data analysis on some of the added value services that you'll get, things like virtual GP services.
Yeah.
What are they speaking to the professional about? And it's interesting that because it's accessible, as it is when you've had your screening, you have access to a professional, they're talking about the menopause. They're talking about things that aren't serious and have probably sat with them for a number of years, been a concern, been a hindrance. But actually, am I going to pick up the phone and speak to my GP? No, I just simply haven't got the time. I'm not going to wait. But suddenly, you've given them access to a professional who they can talk to and actually get that additional support. So,
And you're so right, Emily. It's very easy to get fixated on the really serious stuff, cancer and cardiovascular illness. And that's important. But so much of what people could take action around are much more what we consider much more moderate medical problems, but they can contribute down the line to some of these more serious ones. So high blood pressure, you know, high BMI or obesity, high fasting glucose. These are things that, you know, we think, well, it's not cancer. Well, but number one, you can act on these very, very easily and change your future health. And number two, these often are things that are ultimately linked to much more serious medical conditions like cardiovascular illnesses. So there is a huge amount of value in getting yourself checked out. The other thing, I mean, we've had and I think there is quite a lively debate about whether or not there is value in providing health assessments, screening checks to the, you know, the group we tend to call the worried well. And of course, what no one wants to do is worry people for no reason. But we've done a lot of research on this and talked to our customer base, and there's the feedback is genuinely that a lot of people want the health confidence, frankly, of a clean bill of health. And a lot of them compare it to going to a dentist. We all go to see our dentist twice a year, most of us hoping we're going to hand over a reasonable amount of money if it's a private dentist, but we're going to walk away getting told, you've got great teeth there, Emily. And there's an element of a lot of people that want that confidence in their general health. And, you know, I think that's a legitimate demand from people. You know, we want to know we're okay. And we want to know there's a way of us catching anything that's worrying, you know, without having to wait until we feel we feel unwell or we spot a symptom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there is an element of fear, John, for people going for these screens. I mean, if you're fit and healthy, you probably want to go because you want to be told you're fit and healthy. Thank you. It's nice to hear it. However, for those people that are fearful of what's going to be said to them, yes, you know, for those with, say, private healthcare, that there is a pathway for them. But for those, and there are a lot of clients that we've got that just simply can't provide that, but maybe want to provide the you know, the first level screen, but without any ongoing service. How do we support those individuals and combat that fear?
Well, I think first of all, let's try and debunk that people should be worried about the experience of having a health assessment in the first place. And I say this from someone that doesn't like blood very much. So we tend to take some bloods from you to send off to the lab and do a plethora of different tests. And I'm sure all providers are like this. The phlebotomists that take your blood are fabulous. Half the time you don't even know they've done it and they're finished and that bit is over. So it's not an intimidating experience. Obviously, as I said, we don't do it in a hospital, so people tend to not get that white coat syndrome. But even, you know, I want to debunk, you know, it's not a horrible experience. It's quite a nice experience. And you're there to be looked after by whoever your health assessment provider is. I think, though, to directly answer your question, what we do, and I think all providers do, will provide access, whether it be during your health assessment or as we do it after you've had your health assessment and you've got your results, to a doctor that you can talk to. And that doctor can help you with the onward pathway if there is a need for a further check, possibly leading to a diagnosis. And that can be back into your own GP, that can be into the private system. That's what, you know, we want to encourage people to, if there isn't a dead end here. We understand that the NHS is under pressure, and that's why we want to work more closely, but that all health assessment providers, including Blue Crest, will try to ensure that there is that connection if they need ongoing support. But we'll also, I mean, our health coaches and health advisors will just talk through people's results. I mean, you know, as you said, if you've got an amber result, you know, that's not indicating something that's critical. We contact our customers immediately on receipt of a what we call a critical result. And all that means is that we don't know that they have any specific condition, but the reading for that result is significantly, if you like, high on the scale. And the advice is to seek support and intervention immediately. So they get really clear advice. They can talk to our GP, and that's the way they can get onward pathways into the NHS or into private diagnosis if they want to self-pay, or if they've been advised by Broadstone and they've got some PMI in place.
Absolutely. $1 million question for you, John. Future of health checks and screenings. What would you predict?
Well, I think demand is only going to increase. And I think that was going to happen anyway. I think with the change in government, and in fact, it's probably nothing to do with the change in government. There's probably inevitability about this. I personally see government certainly focusing on prevention much more. They've signposted that today, and I don't think it was the biggest secret in the world. I don't know. I've got no hotline into the health secretary, but I can see the government under the financial and economic constraints that they've got, looking for employers to take a more proactive role in this. So I think for all those reasons, we'll see increasing demand. I think employers will increasingly start to see this, therefore, as a way of maintaining the health and productivity of their entire workforces, rather than perhaps the way we've looked at health checks in the past, which is more of an executive perk. Yeah. So that sort of whole of workforce, that's how you understand the health risks of your entire, you know, frankly, your most important asset, your people, and can support them in can mitigate those risks and support individuals in making changes. And that's got to have a positive impact on that £138 billion cost of absence. And you mentioned it right at the beginning. I think again, there's some signposting this week from the government that there is going to have to be more public-private partnership and collaboration. We genuinely are a mission-led business. We want to touch as many people as possible because we're here. Yes, we're a commercial organisation, but we're here to deliver improved population health. And if we can work on an even broader basis to deliver that through, as you said, you can do various types of assessments and checks that have real value, then that's what we would do. And my prediction is we will see more of that down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, John. I mean, I think, you know, we agree health checks are a crucial first line of defence against serious conditions, you know, chronic conditions such as heart, cancer, diabetes and liver, as we've mentioned, and just so important for early detection and diagnosis so that we can get people where they need to be and being treated. You know, it's critical in identifying modifiable risks, and that's the time you get to spend, you know, with a clinician to talk about how making those lifestyle simple sometimes lifestyle changes can really change the future of your health. So it's vital, really, as we've talked about there, John. But look, thank you. It's been brilliant talking to you and very insightful. I hope our listeners found it as informative as I did, and we welcome you back to our next broadcast. Thanks, John.
Thanks for having me, Emily. It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you.